So, let's have it up on the screen. Hashtag 536. There it is. I put it up on Facebook earlier in the week to give you a chance to try and work out what it was all about. And if you've seen any of the things that have popped up on Facebook, you'll have seen that my kids embraced thoroughly the attempt to work out what it was. And some of my friends joined in. My son Tim came up with the first suggestion, just a one-word suggestion. He said, John. Can we go to that one? There we go. John, question mark. And I'm guessing he meant, is it John chapter 5, verse 36? But it's not. So he was wrong. Then one of my friends chipped in with the next one. Something to do with a lottery in Uzbekistan. Yeah, random, but not correct. So my daughter chips in with, next one. Did you get the hashtag and pound confused and it's the amount you want spent on your Father's Day present? No. That would be with the colon at the end, 536:00. So she then suggested, as someone else suggested in the service a moment ago, next one, the length of your sermon, 5 hours, 36 minutes, not 5 minutes, 36 seconds, because that's not even worth preaching, is it? 5 hours, 36 minutes, and that is the wrong answer. My son, Ben, was not going to be left out, and he submitted a number of suggestions. My children managed to take inappropriate to whole new levels, so I've chosen the one that is the least inappropriate, and it's actually quite a funny one. It was my favorite. Knowing that Anne and I do watch the television program Pointless, Ben suggested that this was a reference to, next slide please, Pointless Series 5, Episode 36, first aired on January the 3rd, 2012, where round one was national flags that contained the color green, round two, albums of the noughties and their artists, round three, rhinoceroses and Oscar-winning British actors. That was two separate rounds, by the way, not the connection between rhinoceroses and Oscar-winning British actors, and round four, cricketers who took 300 test wickets, or 300 wickets. And I thought, he's made that up. So I Googled, and he's actually absolutely right. Those were the questions in Series 5, Episode 36 of Pointless. But that's not the right answer. He's obviously got far too much time on his hands. A couple of friends got it right, but with their full knowledge, I deleted their answers because I didn't want other people to spot it too soon. So you've had a little bit longer to think. If you haven't yet worked it out, there's a clue in the video that we're about to watch, which is our Bible reading for this morning in video form.
The Holy Tales. A long time ago, there lived a man called Jairus. He was a minister in the house of God. He had a daughter who was really very ill. She was only 12 years old, and Jairus was scared that his one and only daughter would die. So one day, feeling very helpless, he decided to go to Jesus for help. When Jairus went to Jesus, Jesus was teaching his disciples and his followers. Jairus went up to him and said,
"Master, my daughter is very ill. You must help her or she will die."
Jesus agreed and told Jairus to immediately take him to his house. There was a woman in the crowd who had been ill for many years and was in a lot of pain. She had given a lot of money to doctors, but they couldn't help her at all. She believed in Jesus and his wonderful healing powers. She wanted to meet him as soon as possible. She thought, "If I can just touch his clothes, I know I will be healed." At last, she met Jesus. She was able to touch a part of Jesus' cloak. She knew at once that she had been healed. Suddenly, Jesus stopped and asked,
"Who touched my cloak?"
The followers said,
"There are so many people around you."
But Jesus kept looking in the crowd. Finally, the woman who had been healed came out. She fell at his feet, very scared. She told him that she had touched his cloak. Jesus said kindly,
"My child, it is not my cloak but your faith in me that has healed you. Go in peace and be free of your illness.
While they were on their way, some friends of Jairus stopped them to give them the bad news. They said,
"Your daughter has died. Now Jesus does not need to take the trouble to go to your house."
But Jesus did not turn back. Jesus asked him not to worry and have faith in God. When they reached the house, people were already crying. Jesus looked at the girl and said to the crowd that there was no need to cry and that she was just asleep. They did not believe him. Then Jesus held the girl's hand and said softly,
"Child, it is time to wake up."
The spirit returned to the lifeless body of the girl, and she immediately opened her eyes. Her family gave her food to eat, and Jairus thanked Jesus. Jesus asked Jairus and his wife not to tell anyone about what had taken place. The Holy Tales.
Seemed like a good story for today, Father's Day, because of course it's the story about a dad and his daughter. Three of the Gospels all tell us the story, and that particular version of the story is from Mark's Gospel, Mark's chapter 5. And the Bible tells us only a little bit about these people. We know that the father's name was Jairus. That wasn't quite how they pronounced it in the American version, but Jairus is how we would pronounce it. I'm guessing we haven't got anyone with that name here this morning. It's not exactly a name that's in common use. All we know about Jairus is that he lived in the area of Galilee. He was a leader in the Jewish synagogue, so that's like saying he was one of the leaders in the local church. He has a daughter. We're not even told her name, but we are told that she is 12 years old. Just out of interest, any 12-year-old girls here this morning? Or are they going to be at the later service? Because we're going to get the younger children at this service. Any 12-year-olds? Any dad who's got a 12-year-old daughter? Yes, one. So one person who's a 12-year-old. You can be our example. This is what a 12-year-old girl looks like. Can you just stand up? Okay, that's what a 12-year-old girl looks like. So when you're thinking Jairus' daughter, 12-year-old girl, that's what you need to be thinking about. You can sit down. You don't have to stand up for the whole of the sermon. But the main thing that we're thinking about is the fact that Jairus, he's a dad. And so on Father's Day, we're thinking about Jairus as a dad. And this morning, what I'm going to be saying is mainly directed at the dads. But as always, you're all allowed to listen. You don't have to switch off just because it's mainly directed at dads. You can listen in. So dads, the question that I want you to think about this morning is this. What is the best or most important thing that you can do for your child or your children? What's the best or the most important thing that you as a dad can do for your child or your children? Now, I guess if you were to ask your children, they would have some interesting answers to that question, and many of them would involve vast sums of money. But we're not going to ask your kids. We're not going to go there. Not going to ask the kids that. But I did think it might be good to ask a couple of dads that. So, Tom, where's Tom got to? Tom's there, and Colin, why don't you come on up? I've asked a couple of dads to just come up, and I'm going to ask them this question. So, first of all, okay, we've got the photograph up there, Tom. That's you with your. Tell us about your sons. Who's that up there? Tell us a little bit about them.
My older son is Sammy. Yep.
Sammy, stand up. Take a wave. That's Sammy. Okay.
He's nearly eight.
Nearly eight.
Yeah. Wow, yeah, and he enjoys going to school, and also worshiping with banners.
Excellent.
Yeah, and my youngest one is Isaac.
Come a bit further forward. There we go. Isaac?
Yeah, Isaac, and he's nearly 20 months.
Okay.
And he enjoys running around, keeping me busy.
I bet he does. Now, earlier, we had that little video where the kids had been asked to tell us Dad's best or worst joke. So you get your chance now. Before we get on to the important stuff, this is your chance. You can tell us your best or your worst joke. You don't have to tell us whether you think it's your best or your worst. You just tell us the joke, and we'll decide whether it's your best or your worst. So...
Right. I know a guy who doesn't like to eat inside. He's called Al Fresco.
Yeah, they seem to quite like that one. I think you got away with that one. So, Tom, getting on to the more important question. What do you think is the best thing that you as a dad can do for your two sons? For for them.
For myself, I think to love them, to pray for them, and also for myself to be close to God and to be worshiping Him so I can be a good example for them.
And we've seen this morning that you are a good example because you were up there with banners. And down here, we had Sam with the banners. And even Isaac, he did it for a couple of seconds and then just threw the banner away, didn't he? I saw that. That was a great moment. So, Howell, what other sort of things do you think are the example that you're setting for your sons?
To help them to love our God with all their hearts, mind, and soul, and not to be afraid. So, you know, to worship our amazing God.
That's great. Well done. You stay up here. Colin, come forward. I might, because you're fairly reputable, I might let you hold the microphone. Okay. I know it's a great honor, I know. Maybe not.
Okay. Thank you, David.
So tell us, those are your kids gazing into the distance there.
That's the top of Scarfell Pike. So Archie in the cap, Rosanna with the long hair, and Amelia with the dashing Yorkshire cap, which she bought from Kendall in the market.
There we go.
When I got my one.
We actually saw two of your kids there, Amelia and Rosanna, telling jokes that I believe they got from you.
Yeah.
So again, whether it was best or worst, you have your chance now to tell what you think is your best or your worst joke.
Well, I only have best ones there.
And then we'll decide whether it was the best or the worst.
David, knock, knock.
Who's there?
Interrupting cow.
Interrupting. Didn't quite get the round of applause that Tom got.
It's because they're thinking about it.
That was sympathy. That was sympathy.
It's a complicated joke. They're working it out.
Yeah, okay. So, Colin, actually, thinking back to your own dad, what were some of the things that you think were the best things that your dad did for you?
The best thing I think my dad did for me, and the thing that I enjoyed about him most, is he was fun. He was such fun. He is such fun, I should say. So he's 75, and he's as fun now as I remember him. So whether it was playing sport with us, or whether it was doing silly voices, he did this bucking bronco thing, so he'd give us a wild horse ride, or something that he still does a lot of. He's got lots of teddies, and he does teddy voices, and they attack people, which I loved.
Yeah, great. So now that you're a dad yourself with your three, what do you think is the best or most important thing that you can do for your children?
Well, I think I'm fun as well, and I think it's probably in my top five, but my number one thing, most important and best thing I do for my kids is I submit to God's authority, and they see me submit to the authority of God.
And tell us a bit more about that, what that looks like on a day-to-day basis.
Well, it's most obvious when I've made a terrible mistake. Normally that's a question of the kids doing something mildly wrong and me having a volcanic reaction, a complete overreaction, and then 10 minutes later I go back to them. And I'll say sorry to them. It's important that they say sorry. We see them say sorry, because that's the rules in our house. When you make a mistake, you say sorry, and then you say, I forgive you. But it's important they see me do that for them. And also, when I've really blown it, I will then take their hand, and I'll kneel down in front of them, and I'll close my eyes, and I'll say sorry to God. So they can see, just as they're under my authority, it's the same rules for me. I'm under God's authority.
That's great. Thank you. There we go.
David, same questions for you.
Have
you got pictures of yours?
Well, I did actually.
Yes.
There we go. So this was a picture of my three last year on my 60th birthday. They had this T-shirt printed for me that said, my daddy is 60, but they put an exclamation mark, so it looks like it says, my daddy is 601. They made me wear it all day, so I had to walk around all day. So there next to me is Naomi. She's my eldest. She's 39. And then Tim over here is the middle one. He's 36, and Ben, the younger one, is 32. So those are my three.
And your dad? What are the things you appreciate about your dad?
My dad? I think the thing I appreciated most about my dad was that he taught me to read the Bible in public and to love the Bible. That would be the thing that that I think I appreciate most about my dad.
And how about you for your kids? What's the most important and best thing you think you've done for them?
I think, for me, it is trying to convey to them that I will always 100% accept them, whatever they do. That their acceptance is not dependent on my approving of what they do. In fact, when they each turned 18, I wrote them all a letter. I think they still got it. I'd like to believe they've kept it. And one of the things I said to them in the letter was, no, you've got an adult now. I'm not going to be able to tell you what to do. You're free to make your own choices. But my promise to you is this, whatever choices you make in your life, I will always accept you. Might not like the things you do, but I will always accept you. And I would think that's important for me to model to them, that that's how God deals with us, so that's how I want to deal with them. But you didn't ask me my best or worst joke. That was the bit I was looking forward to most.
I don't have to say that I forgot that bit, David. Sorry.
Didn't want to be outshone, did you?
Self-preservation, I think, for us. David, what would you say is your best or worst joke?
Well, there are so many to choose from, but I'll put it in story form. A couple of years ago, we took the family to Whipsnade. In fact, all three of them, plus their other halves and the kids, we went to Whipsnade. And I discovered during the day that they had had a bet as to how long it would be into the day before I told a certain joke. And sure enough, it was about half an hour into the day that they all burst into a round of applause and clapped because we saw a certain animal, I think it was a rhinoceros, and I said, what's the difference between a rhino and a bison? You can't wash your hands in a rhino. Yeah, okay, fair enough. I didn't even get the sympathy round of applause. Okay, let's give these two a round of applause. Thank you so much for sharing in that. So we've heard from some dads, but I wonder if we were to ask Jairus, the character who's in our Bible story, I wonder if we ask Jairus the same question. He's a dad, he's got a daughter, he may have got other children as well, but we haven't been told about them. And in this story, Jairus is facing a really difficult situation because his daughter has become ill. In fact, she gets worse and worse until she's seriously ill. She's so ill that they begin to realize that there's the possibility she might not get better. She might die. And so what's the best thing that Jairus can do for his daughter in this really difficult situation? The first thing that he can do for her, and the best thing that he can do for her, is that he goes to Jesus. He goes to Jesus to talk to Jesus about his daughter. He simply tells Jesus the problem. My daughter's dying. And he asks Jesus to come and lay hands on her so that she'll be healed and get better. So if Jairus were here this morning and we were interviewing him and we were to say to him, Jairus, what do you think is the best or most important thing you can do for your child? I think he would say, when things are difficult, the best thing you can do for your children is to go and talk to Jesus about your children. Now, of course, Jesus isn't physically living here on earth any longer, but we can still go to him when we pray. So, dads, I think Jairus' answer for us would be one of the best things we can do is to go and talk to Jesus about our kids. It's one of the things that Tom mentioned, wasn't it, in his, the best thing you can do as a dad is actually pray for your kids. One of the best things you can do is to talk to Jesus about your kids. That's what Jairus did. In fact, the Bible says that video recording talked about him as feeling very helpless. And there are times as dads, aren't there, where it's not actually the easiest job in the world being a dad. It's a great job. It's a great thing to do. I have loved being a dad. I love being a granddad. As some of those bumper stickers say, if I'd known grandchildren were such fun, I'd have had them first. You know, it's great being a dad, it's great being a granddad, but it's not always easy. There are times, aren't there, as dads, where we're dealing with things and we find it really difficult. We find ourselves, like Jairus, feeling very helpless. And Jairus would say to us this morning, when you feel like that, when it's feeling difficult to be a dad, go and talk to Jesus about it. So Jairus does. He goes to talk to Jesus about his daughter. And Jesus sets off with Jairus to go back to Jairus' home, and it's all going well, but then something happens that slows them down. We saw it in the video. There's a woman in the crowd who's been ill for 12 years, and she's seen many doctors, and she's spent all her savings on medical treatment, and at the end she's worse rather than better. And she's heard about Jesus, and she thinks, if I could just go and see Jesus, if I can just get near enough to him to touch his cloak, I think I'll be made better. And so she does, and she is made better. And she touches his cloak, and immediately she is better. But the problem was then, Jesus stopped, turns round, and asks, who touched me? And then there's that whole conversation between the woman and Jesus. But how do you think that made Jairus feel? There's Jairus as a dad. He's gone to Jesus for help for his daughter, and Jesus has responded and they've set off, and now there's a delay, there's an interruption. And on the one hand, he's probably, because he's a local synagogue leader, he's probably, as a local church leader, I'm really pleased that this woman's getting the help that she needs. But deep down inside, he's probably thinking, come on, come on, my daughter, this is a delay. We can do without this. We don't want the delay. And the woman doesn't immediately own up, and so it drags on even further as they have to try and find out who it is. And things are not turning out now the way Jairus had hoped. He's gone to Jesus. He's asked Jesus for help, but it's not turning out quite the way he hoped. There's a delay. He's done what he thinks is the best thing, but it hasn't quite worked out. I wonder if at that point Jairus was tempted just to give up, tempted to walk away, to go home and think, oh, that's it. But he doesn't. He stays. Because he knows that even with the delay, it's still better for his daughter to have Jesus involved. And then something awful happens. Friends arrive, and they tell Jairus the news. Jairus, your daughter's actually died. Don't bother Jesus any longer. There's no point. So it started out as a difficult situation, then there was a delay, and now it's gone beyond difficult to disaster. So what's Jairus going to do now? He stays with Jesus. He doesn't give up. He invites and allows Jesus to come back. And it's at this point that Jesus turns and speaks to Jairus. And what he says to Jairus is recorded in Mark chapter 5, verse, guess. Which verse do you think it might be? Verse 36, that's right. 5:36, important verse. This is what Jesus says to a dad. He says this to Jairus. Jairus, don't be afraid. Just trust me. That's hashtag 5:36. Jesus says, just trust me. And we know the end of the story. Jesus takes Peter, James, and John, and they go with him to Jairus' home where there are lots of people crying and wailing. And he goes with Jairus and his wife and the three disciples into the room where the girl is lying. And Jesus takes Jairus' daughter by the hand, and he says to her, hey girl, I'm talking to you. It's time to get up. And she gets up and is raised back to life. Starts to walk around. And he says, come on, give her something to eat, for goodness sake. She's hungry. And they give her something to eat. It says that Jairus and his wife were astonished. But they were. See, they thought that Jesus might be able to help them when she was sick. It probably never crossed their minds that he would be able to help them after she died. But he was. He could do that amazing miracle. Because there was nothing too difficult for Jesus. Whether it was a difficulty, whether it became a delay, or whether it even ended up as a disaster, it wasn't too much for Jesus. And so Jesus says to Jairus as a dad, hashtag 5:36, just trust me. I believe that is what Jesus wants to say this morning to dads. I think actually he wants to say it to all parents, mums and dads. It may be, actually, there are some of you here this morning, you're a single mum, and you've got to be both mum and dad. And he says it to you. He says it to parents whose kids are grown up. One of the difficulties of having grown-up kids is you don't have the same opportunities to shape their life that once you did. He says it to grandparents who are doing all they can to help their children, bring up their children. He says it to all of us, but he says it to a dad first. And so this morning, dads, this is for you. As you get on with the job of being a dad, even when you feel helpless, even if it's difficult at times, even if it really gets to the point where it feels like a disaster, the best thing you can do for your kids is to do what Jairus did, which is to go and talk to Jesus about your kids. Just go and talk to them. Talk to him about them. And when you do, the thing that Jesus will say to you again and again and again is, just trust me. Now, we want you to remember that. So we've got one of these for every man in the building. Kids, if you are here with your dad this morning, Ryan and Becky, do you want to supervise? We've got some boxes over there. I'd like you to come and get one for your dad. And then when you've given one to your dad, I want you to come again and get another one and take it to someone here who either is not a dad or whose kids are not here to come and collect the gift for him. Special little gift for every man in the building who is operating as a dad, whether you're your own kids or looking after other people's kids, whether your kids are grown up as a dad. If you're wondering, it's not just any old keyring fob, it's a bottle opener as well. So it's a special little one. It's a special bottle opener that you can use to open bottles. And engraved on it, you might not have been able to see it as I was holding it up, but engraved on it, it says, #536. That's to remind you what Jesus says to you as a dad. Jesus says to you as a dad, just trust me.